to Jacob's example, Isaiah 43, and then we'll get into the first point, okay? Beginning with verse 4. Now, this is going to sound quite a bit different from your translation. It's an amplified Bible, and it uses... the Amplified Bible takes the original language, and if you were to do a word study in the original language and take a concordance that had a Greek dictionary in it and look that word up, it would give you several examples of that word. In other words, how that word is used in some different ways. And so the Amplified Bible takes that, and the amplification of that is that it will say several things. It will use that word in several different examples. And so this may seem a little odd if you haven't read from the Amplified Bible very much. I use it a lot as a study aid, and it's not the Bible I preach from, but it's one of the ones that I use as a study aid. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses. He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him for. It is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride themselves in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestinated, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Our Father, we thank You and praise You for the day that You've given us. We thank You for the opportunities of this day that You have blessed us with. And now, Lord, we pray that You'd open our spiritual eyes to the truth of Your word. May it sink deep into our being tonight and make a change in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you may be seated, but I want to go ahead and read the verses. I said I think I used point number one when I meant point number two. So the next passage is in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And then Romans 8:38-30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Gwen and I was discussing this verse this afternoon, and she said, it's hard for people who are going through tremendous difficulties in their life, that where it just seems like one tragedy right after another happens to them, for them to be able to know that all things work for the good of them that love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. And I said, you know, I don't have an answer for that. I just know that God is true, and the Word of God is true. And I think that there are some things that you and I are not going to figure out until we get to eternity. All these things that have happened, and some of the trouble and very strong difficulties that have come in our life, we won't know about that. We won't know the impact that those circumstances had on the kingdom of God until we get to heaven. So we just have to trust God. We just have to do what Wesley did this morning. We just have to turn loose and drop ourselves in to his hands for him to take care of us. And he will take care of us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. In the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, in verses 1 through verse 4, the Lord is using Jacob as an example here. But when I read this, I like to think of how the Lord looks at me. And I believe that God, that we are special to the Lord. We sang about that tonight. We are special to him. But now, thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. The character that God developed in Abraham's life, he shaped for an eternal purpose. And so that's what he's doing in our life. As we study the life of Abraham, we know that God, everything is hinged. When you look back into history, God called Abraham out to for our called out people to be the father of many nations. And really, he's the father of the Jews. But when we come to the New Testament, we understand that he's also the father of the Gentile. And he is the forerunner of Christ, just like others in the Scripture is the forerunner of Christ. And so we see this especially in Ephesians 4 through 10 that we read earlier, and especially in verse 10. So let's go back, let's back up just a little bit to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. Now, you get the image in your mind of a carpenter or a steel worker or a painter, an artist, or someone who is building a sculpture of some kind. And they're hammering, and they're using the brush, and they're doing different things to bring that to the image that it's supposed to be. Someone asked an artist one time how he could make a portrait look so much, I think this was someone making a sculpture, and how could you make it look so much like a human being? How can you make it look so real? And he says, take away everything that doesn't look like that. Everything that doesn't look like a person, I take it away. And so the Lord is building us. We're his workmanship. He is carving away at us, and he's taking away those things that do not look like his son. Do you get the message? He's taking away everything that does not look like his son. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before... What's that next word? Ordained? That is, that God is the one that's doing the preparing. He's ordained that we should walk in them. He had an eternal purpose for Abraham. He has an eternal purpose for us. I want us to look at 10 godly characteristics in Abraham's life that we should desire to be in our own life. Now, I'm not going to go through all these, because I think I want to spend just a little bit of more time in these characteristics that God wants us to pick up on in Abraham's life. I said this morning that Joseph was Joseph, whether he was in prison or whether he was in the palace, he was Joseph. You don't see him changing. You don't see him just being moved away with every wind that comes along, with every wave that comes. He's not swept away by every wave that comes along. He's Joseph, whether he's in the pit where his brothers have thrown him, or whether he's been sold, whether he's in Potiphar's house and being tempted, or whether he is in the palace, he is Joseph. I mean, he just has this godly character about him that God means for us to pick up on. And so he puts the story in the Bible. So he puts Abraham's story in the Bible. And he gives us these godly... If everything was written about Abraham, we couldn't hold the books, could we? I mean, it would just for a lifetime. But God has chosen these characteristics of Joseph to share with us here in this lifetime where we are at. And so I want us to look at some of them. I mentioned this morning. And to me, this is the most important one. There'll be others. We're going to look at some others. One thing that Joseph was is that he was He was wealthy, but he was very generous. he had learned to give to the Lord's work. That's the first time we hear about tithing, is in Abraham's life. One of the things that stand out, just like David is a man after God's own heart, the things that we think about Joseph and some of the other characters in God's Word, Abraham is called the friend of God. And I was surprised at how many times the Bible talks about Abraham being the friend of God. Let's look first of all in the book of James, Hebrews, James, the second chapter, and look at verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Had you ever noticed that verse before? Imputed righteousness is something that you don't have on your own, that you got from someone else, that someone placed righteousness upon you. And you and I cannot be saved without imputed righteousness. Did you know that you don't have any righteousness of your own? You can't get to heaven. If you're depending on getting to heaven, I'm getting a little country here. If you're depending on getting to heaven through your own righteousness, you're blowed up. It's imputed righteousness. And so whose righteousness is it? Comes from Christ, right? It's His righteousness. It's we are saved through the imputed righteousness of Christ. So Abraham, it wasn't because Abraham was able to muster up faith. It was that he believed God. He turned loose and fell into the arms of God. And he received imputed righteousness. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, what's that? The friend of God. See, this is what God wants to build in our lives. Relationship. I mean, if you have a friend, what does that mean? I mean, I've had some people to say to me, some friend you are. What do you think they meant by that? That I didn't show up at the right time, or I didn't do the right thing, or I gave them a hard time over something. But here, the friend of God. What does it mean when you have a friend? It means a relationship. It means a fellowship. It means you're there for one another. It's you have a kindred spirit. You're hooked together. And so here, Abraham is called the friend of God. Now back over in the Old Testament, Kings. What's that next book, Bible Drillers? Huh? What's after Kings? Where's those Bible Drillers at? Chronicles. The 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham? What's that next deal? Thy friend forever. Is that not good stuff? I mean, here, it's not a temporary friend. It's not someone that you was next door neighbors with for a little while and you were friends as long as you lived next door to them, but whenever you moved away, that friendship stopped. Here, the Bible defines the friendship that Abraham and God had as a friendship forever. Not just on this earth, but for eternity. Is that not special stuff? I mean, that's where I want to be at. Don't you want to be there? The friend of God in this relationship to God. Isaiah. Isaiah, chapter 41. And look at verse 8. God's speaking through his prophet to Israel. And he's saying, this is God speaking to you. It's the word of God, and God is speaking to Israel. And this is what he says in chapter 41 and verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now, we could spend some time on that, couldn't we? Why Jacob and not Esau? But he said, I've chosen Jacob. Jacob, whom I've chosen. You know, I'm like the guy who they get in this quarrel over God rejecting Esau and choosing Jacob. And I'm like the fellow that said, you know, I can see why he rejected Esau, but I can't understand why in the world he would choose that rascal Jacob. I mean, you supplanter, jokester, pulling shenanigans. And I'm thinking, Gwen and I were talking about this the other morning. I said, you know, it doesn't seem right that he could mark those sticks and drive them in the ground where those goats were going to water, and all of their kids would be brittle. Whatever it was he was going to get, you know, you're going to get all the ones that are not, that are kind of unpure, those that are not white, those that are brittle, and what was that word, rims? What? Spotted? Is that what you said? Anyway, that didn't seem quite right, did it? Or it didn't to me, anyway. But he said, Jacob have I chosen. I don't know about you. That makes me really feel good. But look at what he says in verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. What's that next? My friend. Whew. Hey, I'm going to stop right here. And we're going to take up here next Sunday morning. I get carried away. We'll be here till midnight. I love it. I love it. I love it. We'll talk about the character. We'll go on into the character of Abraham next Sunday morning. Boy, I'll have a lot of attention, won't I? People getting ready for camp, they won't hear anything I say. You want to join me up here?